Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of Wrestle Ramble is sponsored by our very own Almanac. The Wrestle Talk Almanac is back and bigger than ever and is the must-have guide to wrestling in 2019. Where else will you find who won all of wrestling's most important tournaments, discover the real names of over 1,000 wrestlers, and see the star ratings for literally thousands of matches? There's also coverage of over 250 shows from around the world, with star ratings, reviews, match times, outcomes, and attendance figures, which will likely be inflated on Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard's podcasts. Not only that, but our boffins here at WrestleTalk HQ have put together win-loss statistics for every wrestler from every major promotion. So now you can be that annoying stat guy at your wrestling parties. Or maybe you can find yourself a time machine and give a copy of it to your past self so they can place a few bets and then buy a casino. I'm obviously joking, I'm not condoning betting, it's a Back to the Future Part 2 joke. Finally, the first 100 purchases will get a hand-signed photo of Ollie and myself, which I guess some people might think is a good thing. So what are you waiting for? Order it now by using the links in the podcast description or go to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com. That's wrestletalk.bigcartel.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am a returning Oliver Davis. I used my full syllables like my mother would do when she's angry with me. And I'm joined by Lukaver Lus Owen.
The dream team is back together once again.
Up yours, Pete. Up. How was he?
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? He was great.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
That's good.
Pete a lot. I thought he was great on the show. I thought he was an excellent co-host. I thought he provided excellent chat, good ramble content.
What's the best piece of chat that he gave, that he offered up?
What is the best bit of chat? We didn't have anything like the Blake Ham sort of story that was going on. In fact, actually, really, the big story that we've had is we have decided that America just needs to get together and decide what their time zones are and when things air, because someone emailed in. We had a big chat about spoilers. And someone, you know, there's someone in our Discord who lives in a world that is 30 days behind ours because they only watch everything via the network, which means they watch Raw and SmackDown 30 days after they've aired for us. So they've messaged me before, say, can you be less spoilery with the Ramble titles? I'm 30 days behind you. Now, you are a very, very small portion of this audience. We can't just cater to that. And then we made the argument that wrestling is a live sport, so we report on it a live sport the same way you would any sport. But this person emailed in saying that they don't think WWE do it particularly fair because although it airs live at 5, they don't get it till 3 hours later. So they're then on Instagram and they see WWE spoiling what happens on the show. They
say,
I had The Undertaker's return spoiled for me because I was on Instagram, even though I know I shouldn't be. Which led to a lot of people saying, like, just get off Instagram, mate.
Yeah,
that's not that difficult to do. But that's then led to, we said, we can work out how time zones worked and where things were airing. Then someone emailed and he's like, guys, I'm going to clear this all up for you. And they explained it brilliantly. We were like, cool, that was great. Then we had another email that contradicted everything that person had said. And it contradicted what the original email had said as well. And we're like, well, now we just don't know. So we need to get, America just needs to get together, have a word, and come back to us.
So I was right. Nothing happened while I was gone.
Absolutely,
that's good. That's good to
absolutely
know.
Absolutely nothing happened.
But this is an important debate. This is how Hulk Hogan worked 400 days in a year because of time zones. Yeah.
I did have this email in, though, that I've been saving until you arrived back. This came in from Matthew. He said, "Hello, Luke, Ollie, and the rest of the WrestleTalk crew. I just wanted to make a comment about the whole Weezer not being so good anymore. I can agree with you since I haven't bought a full album since Pinkerton. I just wanted to let you know there's a band called Los Campeones. They're from England. They've been my favorite band for about 8 years now, and I finally got to see them live in Austin over the weekend. The only reason I bring this up is because apparently the lead singer, Gareth David, is a huge wrestling fan. I'd love to know if you have ever come across them since your fellow Brits. If so, do you like them? Pics attached where it didn't happen. That's him, myself and Gareth. So that is a man here, Matt, with the lead singer of this band. And there is the lead singer of the band hanging out
with
Bailey.
Wow, yeah, that's all true. So, just a preface, I had no idea you were going to bring this up. My friend knows them.
No way,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he used to be the Roehampton Uni sort of student rep guy who would book bands. And he got quite friendly with them.
Wow.
Yeah, so back in the day.
Back in the day.
From what I've heard, I enjoy them. But yeah, I am familiar with them. I didn't know they were wrestling fans. But weirdly, my buddy is also a wrestling fan. He would be one of the people who would come round our house at uni and stay up late and watch the pay-per-views. He infamously fell asleep during a segment where Crime Time stole JBL's limo.
Right.
And he woke up. I was like, what's happened? What's happening? And when they were mid stealing the limo.
Right.
And much laughs was had.
Much laughs were
had. Much laughs.
Speaking of much laughs, how was your holiday?
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was very relaxing. It's glad to see that everyone got on okay without me.
You look terrific, by
I've got
way.
A tan.
Your tan is amazing.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed.
A lot of this isn't by chance. I have been carefully pre-tanning over my bicycle rides. Don't know if you've noticed, sometimes I turn up in a vest.
You do, yes. Yeah.
That's so I can start fading in that tan line.
Oh, I see.
On my 30-minute bike ride to work and back again. And yeah, a lot of moisturising. Went wrong sometimes. There were a few burns.
Uh-oh.
I also went to Plymouth the week before. Beautiful weather, so I got a bit of tan there.
Yeah, that was the wedding, right?
That was the few days before the wedding.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been away a lot.
You have.
Different places.
That's why people have been calling you Ollie Lesnar. As of late.
Not Brock Davis.
No, not Brock Davis.
Brock Davis!
No, people went with Ollie Lesnar.
Yeah,
I think
fair.
Ollie's probably a more recognisable name for you. And now people are joking that Brock's shown up for work more than you are.
Yeah, that's funny.
Because he's champion now.
Yeah.
That just to bring you up to speed on things. He's champ.
I'm going to do a bit in my news tomorrow. I think you did a similar thing. I'm glad I didn't miss anything. What? What? But apart from that, what has happened? Baron Corbin hit a woman.
Yeah, Baron Corbin hit the end of days on Becky Lynch to easily the loudest reaction that crowd had given all night, with the exception of the Undertaker match at the start of the show. Bearing in mind, this was in Philly. It was a dead crowd.
Wow.
Dead crowd. They didn't even pop for Bayley defending her title 2-on-1 against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Well, then nothing will please them. At that point, that's on the crowd, not booking.
I will say as well, they were very loud for Bobby Lashley versus Braun Strowman, which is, I'd say, Miz versus Shane levels of fun from WrestleMania.
Great.
It was terrific.
They have, you know, when a joke stops becoming funny and you just stick with it and it gets funny again. That's their feud, where I was very much done with it for months.
Oh, God, totally done.
And then they go through one bit of the stage, and it's brilliant again.
I said in the Extreme Rules review, I gave less Fs about that feud than Daniel Bryan does in general. And now it's one of my favourite things in WWE. I love it.
Weirdly, I'm quite behind. So I haven't seen last week's Raw, but I've been filled in on the insanity of the finish. Where it was Roman Reigns teamed with...
Gary Garbutt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it turned out that it wasn't Gary Garbutt. It was Cedric Alexander. In an angle that was almost perfect. Until Drew and Shane won.
Yeah. It's not how anyone else would have told that story.
But to WWE's credit, and Pete did say this on The Ramble as well, that they have just edited that bit out of the story. So when they replayed it on Monday, they were like, Drew was so embarrassed last week. Cedric really showed up him and Shane. And Drew's character now is he is pissed off that Cedric showed him up last week. And when they showed the replay of it, they just showed Cedric running wild and celebrating with Roman at the end. Just completely erasing the pinfall out of the equation. And now it looks like if you just watch this week's show, yeah, he did upset them last week.
Well, that's great because I guess that gives Drew, a little guy, to beat up a lot for his build to the feud with The Undertaker.
Oh, well, no, Cedric beat him on Raw.
He can still beat him up a lot.
in that classic, Drew dominates the whole match.
Rolls him up, sure. Yeah. Well, there you go. There's your Taker's not around, I've got to build a match with someone program.
Maybe it is.
Hey, I think I'm in a good mental state to predict bullcrap from WWE.
And I believe you did fairly well in the predictions well for just picking things at random. That's the way to do it, mate.
I went through and I thought logically about what I knew about the storylines and I stopped and I said, half of those I'm just going to chuck out at random and I'm going to pick the opposite for the others.
Me and Pete had a blinder.
Yeah, I think we all did pretty well at Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Ollie did the worst by quite some way.
There's Randy not talking into the microphone, not understanding how podcasts work.
Good jokes. Banter. We are going to go into the main show now, talking about a pretty newsless episode of SmackDown Live. SmackDown's not changed at all, by the way. It's the exact same show. But we're going to talk about it nonetheless. And finally, Kofi versus Orton. It's happening. Here's the show.
Kofi versus Orton, eh?
Yeah, so Kofi is still champion. I'll try and catch you up on SmackDown as best I can. Not a lot has happened.
Kevin Owens, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He is the new Steve Austin. That's the biggest thing.
Liv Morgan is a thing.
That's on today's show, though. That's as of today.
Okay,
No. Oh, no.
What else struck me by surprise? Aleister Black found his way out of that cupboard.
He did, yes. Cesaro was the one who knocked. Right. And they had a great match at Extreme Rules.
Drake Younger and Dolph Ziggler had a segment where they were just looking at their phones.
I think they were getting Kevin Owens' number so Dolph could call him. Because Shane had said Kevin Owens has left the building. And so we need to find a way to get him back.
I thought it was a Tinder thing. And Nakamura's United States champion.
He did. No, he's the Intercontinental champion. He beat Finn Balor for it on the pre-show for Extreme Rules.
I'm pretty sure he's the United States champion. I'm 98% sure.
I think I went to Canada last year, he did win the United States championship.
From Rusev.
Was it from Rusev?
It was that feud. Yeah.
I thought that was in January, wasn't it?
No, I think it's been going for... I'm 100% sure. Okay, yes. So, yes, Kofi. So Randy Orton returned on Raw after being away. He's been dealing with an injury, a spine injury?
I believe so, yes.
Some form of injury for the last couple of months. We haven't really seen him. But he returned for the Battle Royal.
The cross-branded All-Star Top 10 Battle Royal to give it its full title. Yes, multiple times throughout the show to give it its full title.
And so when he returned, I was like, wow, Randy Orton has just walked out. Why isn't he getting a bigger pop? So it's because he returned night.
Yeah. So a lot of people in our super chats yesterday and in the general chats were actually disappointed that Randy didn't win the Battle Royal because they thought that Orton versus Lesnar is more appealing than Rollins versus Lesnar. Because we've sort of had Rollins-Lesnar for the first half of this year. Maybe it's time for something new. And I said on the show with Steve that I actually think that he's going to be going against Kofi. I think they're going to do Kofi Orton at SummerSlam. And I'm glad that they are going in that direction because my big criticism I've had against Kofi's championship run thus far has been nothing against him. It's just been that he's been booked against people that are perceived to be as being mid-card. It was against a heel turn Kevin Owens that they didn't want to do. It was against Dolph Ziggler, who's never really been seen above a certain level.
Especially in the last three years.
Oh, I'd say almost say in the last 5-8 years. And then the other one, Samoa Joe, who just lost the United States Championship and has done not much more this year than being rolled up and looking angry.
Yeah, totally. And we've said all along that Randy Orton-Kofi Kingston feud is just waiting to be told.
Yeah.
In all the gauntlet matches that really brought Kofi to the top of the SmackDown card leading into WrestleMania, I just assumed that's where they were going, because Randy Orton always seemed to be one of the last entry in the gauntlet match to take out Kofi. He was always there as a sort of obstacle. It makes sense for Randy to be that first challenger. To catch everyone up, if you're not aware, it was Randy who cut off Kofi Kingston's push in 2010.
Yeah, 2009, 2010, yeah.
Because, yeah, just because I think Kofi missed a spot.
He missed a spot, and Randy did the now very famous stupid
because
rant.
Yeah, because he had a much shorter fuse back then, and he would just flip out at people. Yeah, he's got a lot of power backstage, so he just cut Kofi Kingston's push dead.
Yeah.
And that's a real shame, because Kofi had so much momentum around that time.
Yeah.
I remember watching this Madison Square Garden show, and he put, I believe it was like an elbow through the table, the announcer's table, on Orton.
It was Randy Orton that also killed Kennedy's push as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so he's got prior. But this is a much more mellow Randy Orton in 2019.
I go by this promo as a very mellow Randy Orton.
Yeah, right. RK.
I really won that title, I guess.
But Kofi, yeah, but for all that, even though that isn't stuff that's been explicitly said on screen, it feels like there's an actual tension between them.
Kofi even he repeated the spot that I believe went wrong while he was getting this push into the lead of WrestleMania, and started shouting stupid at Randy Orton. So it's clearly something that they've been sort of like working on themselves, and like doing these spots to get people like us who kind of know the story and get them really interested in this feud. Maybe it's just because he needed some time off, but I think there were... I think Kofi needed a much bigger star.
Oh, yeah.
And he needed a huge, like, legit main eventer to go against and get some wins over to really push him into this top guy stratosphere. Because at the moment, on SmackDown, he's the number three babyface behind Roman and Kevin Owens. And when you're the WWE champion, you don't really want to be third in the pecking order. You want to be a bit higher up that card. And this should be what Kofi needs, as long as he wins at SummerSlam. The other side of this as well, this happened in Extreme Rules. No one's ever bought into his opponents winning the title. Particularly at Extreme Rules, no one bought into Joe winning. Absolutely,
yeah.
There wasn't a cat in hell's chance of him winning that match. So come here, hopefully now they can try and build some near falls and build some teasers of like, yeah, Orton might actually win the title here, and Kofi's reign is in jeopardy.
Well, we'll go through what happened in the segment. The New Day came out to preempt Daniel Bryan's pre-announced career-altering announcement that was teased beforehand. And we'll talk about it more later, but Bryan just kept on faking out, and he walked out.
Yeah.
But then Samoa Joe's music hits, and he comes out, and he challenges Kofi to put the WWE Championship on the line right now, if you're, you know, a real man. And then he was sporting a black eye, Samoa Joe.
Yeah, which we got from Extreme Rules.
In what spot? What happened?
I don't know what spot it was. He's got a bit of a shine. It clearly didn't affect him too much, though, because he beat Finn Balor the following night in like just over a minute.
And then Elias came out, also asked for a shot.
Craig, can you imagine?
He's done so much.
I know, can you imagine at this point where you're like, Kofi really needs like a big top tier main eventer, and they're like, Elias?
It's a mid-card belt.
Yeah.
And then Randy Orton's music hits, and he looked... So bored. He just said the most monotone promo. And back last year, Randy Orton was doing some of the best promo work of his career.
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, the sick stuff he did to Jeff Hardy. One time, and then Jeff Hardy put himself through a table.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you put that alongside his performance here, it is like two completely different people. This was very wooden. No, that's even too much. I would say it was just, he didn't care.
There was no inflection in the voice. It was just him saying, I haven't had that gold around my waist for a long time. I think I want it now. And you will feel the three most dangerous letters, which he's been saying a lot as of late. Like, that's their new big catchphrase for him, is the three most dangerous letters in WWE. RKO. Really, the three most dangerous letters are VKM. But according to him, it's RKO.
But he doesn't even say the last letter, does he?
No.
He just goes, R-K. And then the whole crowd say O.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like he was letting them finish in this big, emphatic finale. It was like he just ran out of breath.
Ran out of ever to give.
Yeah, but then the New Day, you know, there's three heels there. There's the three New Day members in the ring. Ho-ho, players.
I smell a six-man tag. And it was Elias that made the suggestion of a six-man tag. He said, we can't all have title shots, so why don't we have a six-man right now? The New Day agreed, and no one was like, nah.
Which, you know,
I thought it was great. It was like, no, I came out here for a title match. I'm not coming out for a six-man tag with you jabronis. No thanks, mate.
Yeah, he says, six-man? Nah, I'm good.
I'm good.
And he walks out, which is like, maybe they said that to him. Maybe they were like, Randy, your new character is, you're a turn one, you're only in it for the championship belt, everything else is beneath you.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. But he just completely misunderstands that character motivation, goes out there, and actively craps on everything, unless it's a title match.
But Kofi goaded him into it by saying that the Viper has gone limp. And Orton storms down to the ring to have this match.
Hey, yeah, you can't insult a man's erection and get away with it.
No.
Hey, I've got a boner to pick with you.
Oh, mate, Drake Maverick got a lot of boner jokes at his expense.
Attitude Era!
Which is why then you can take him super seriously on 205 Live in his feud with Mike Kanellis.
Who's also being taken
seriously, yeah.
So, yeah, a low blow in terms of promo words was had and Randy accepted. And we got New Day versus Joe Elias and Orton, which, you know, WWE six-man's on TV.
Yeah.
It's very hard to not make them at least a little bit fun.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here.
Costume shrink screen stuff, and everyone ran wild. Everyone did some dives. Everyone did some moves. And the Trouble in Paradise and RKO were dodged. And then eventually, the heels just wiped everyone out. They wiped out Woods. Joe choked him out with the clutch. Elias took out Big E with his high knee. And then, yeah, Kofi got hit with the RKO and he pinned the WWE champion, seemingly setting up the SummerSlam match.
Yeah. And even before then, I thought Kofi and Orton had good interaction in the ring.
Yeah.
There was a, like you said, there was the counter of the Trouble in Paradise, and then Randy Orton went for the RKO out of nowhere, out of nowhere, and Kofi dodged that as well.
Yeah.
It was nice stuff
really
between
good
them.
Stuff. I liked it.
And yeah, I was excited. I'm excited for it. That this is the story of this episode. It was really a slightly below average episode in terms of enjoyability, but it set a lot of things up for the future.
Yeah.
Now, the reports are Eric Bischoff was not backstage, had nothing to do with any of this, hasn't really started his creative position yet.
He's literally only just moved to Stanford. The reports are he's not been backstage at all. His name's not even been mentioned in creative meetings. And the worry backstage, this was from The Observer last week, is that every week he's not there puts him 1 week behind implementing changes. Whereas Heyman, since he had the role announced, has been very much in the mix with the creative direction of the show because he was already there anyway. Apparently there's some backstage heat on Bischoff for not showing up for work.
I'm not back! just to kind of recap this episode, we'll do the full review in a bit. We've got a Buddy Murphy push, seemingly in the wings. Kevin, hey, let me have this. Liv Morgan, potentially a character revamp. Bayley versus Ember Moon as a title feud. Kevin Owens as a top badass babyface.
He's so good in this role. He is great in this role.
Aleister Black, looking really strong against Cesaro. Kofi Kingston, finally getting that Randy Orton feud. Nakamura and Ali over the US Championship.
Or the IC belt.
So we've got a lot of stuff here that is really good future feuds and will be very good wrestling matches with people we like.
Yes.
My concern is Eric Bischoff comes in, just like he did in TNA. These are not his kind of people. His kind of people are he's like more in the Vince McMahon mold of talent spotting rather than Paul Heyman's. He comes in and he just goes, yeah, but, I mean, who's the biggest person on the roster? I'm trying to...
No.
I mean, you can look at Raw, I guess, as well. You don't have to stick with SmackDown these
days. No, quite. You might have missed this bit of news as well. WrestleVotes, very, very reliable WrestleVotes, said that Heyman and Bischoff, following Extreme Rules, which obviously Bischoff was meant to be starting today, they were given the option to completely wipe slates clean and scrap all SummerSlam plans that they had in place to have a complete fresh start with no agendas, no baggage, just a completely fresh start. So all the stuff that you might be excited for could be...
Exactly. That's why I'm a little bit apprehensive. But I'm also on the holiday bump of not having seen WWE for a week.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just excited to see recap packages of The Fiend.
It is nice having some time off, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot... We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, thank you very much for all your super chats. Let's get on to our Pledge Hammer shout-outs for all those Patreons of $25 a month or more. Head over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page to get your things.
Your name shouted out yeah. in this section of the show, and you get your own wrestling nickname with it as well.
And we've got loads of other things. We're reviewing Invasion, the infamous WWF Invasion pay-per-view for this month. And we're going to get very drunk at the end for Ramble Club.
Ramble Club, the episode in June, is one of the greatest things this channel has ever put out.
Yeah.
It's, my wife, to quote my wife, it's borderline unlistenable to.
We got very drunk. So thank you, the Wildcat, Andrew Harris.
Yes, nice. Arnie K, the K stands for coolest dude ever.
Yeah.
Oh, but Andy, don't woo. People get annoyed when you woo. Don't do the
really?
Woo. Yeah, there was a few comments last week. I meant to mention that to you. That's my fault. I meant to tell you that.
No worries. Ken, I'm not eligible to get a case of craft beer. Delay on.
Yes.
Stop it, Andy. The genius of Alexander Miloshevsky.
So it's an Io Shirai thing. He's the genius of the Alexander Miloshevsky. But it might be Miloshevsky.
You said it.
Disrespectfully classy, Marky Blassie.
Yeah. Don't have a Shane Cowley, man.
Yeah, whoa. Nice, yes. 90s reference.
Charlie, drink it in, Z-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hatchet, Cameron Matchett.
Yeah. Yes. And Roman Muliava.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. Dig, diggity, dog.
Jeremiah Jones, thank you very much for your donation. Ryan B. Bad says, hello, Luke. Welcome back, Ollie and Randy. Andy Datson is the Jar Jar Binks of WrestleTalk.
That's harsh. Jar Jar Binks had a character.
When I wasn't here the other day, Luke was like, oh, at least we got... Now, when Laurie was here, he was like, oh, at least we got someone with a bit of charisma.
Well, that's only because you were making jokes about the fact that Laurie, none of us have hair. And so he thought he was being funny by donating to our channel and doing a super chat.
You did like a joke that I made.
Jibe
Gosley says, dedicating my first super chat to celebrate Ollie's return.
Yay!
We're all celebrating the return.
Guys, I'm here.
It is very hot in here. Blake, I don't know, it's someone's name, Ollie. Can you help me here?
Blake Pork.
Blake Pork, yeah. Blake Ham. No.
Oh, the other one.
The other one.
You mean, well, that's not
I don't think that's... I think that's Flake.
Oh, sorry.
I think that's Flake Cadabris.
Flake what?
Cadabris.
Flake Cadabris.
Oh, yeah, he says, crap, Todd is back.
Okay.
And we will do two more for now. Buddy Murphy to Shane's Midcard Vortex confirmed. That's from the AdNap 2.
Oh, yeah.
And Tomo with a wonderful donation. Thank you very much, Tomo. Says, hello, people. Welcome back, Ollie. I hope you enjoy your little holiday. Looks like me, Tim Arndt, and Jobber JJ have formed a little team together. Obviously, I'm the leader. I guess they are the super chatters supreme.
They are the
Tomo's super chat vortex.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just sucking everyone in. So
the full show... kicked off with a earlier today clip.
Well, we had a recap of Owens last week, which I thought was good for you because you didn't see
that
last week. And that was like Kevin Owens, he turned babyface the week prior to that when he attacked Dolph Ziggler.
Saw that one.
Yeah. Were you there for that show?
I was there for that show.
Okay, well then last week really cemented it because he came out and cut this promo essentially saying, the reason why WWE sucks at the moment is there's too much Shane. The McMahons told us in December we'd be the authority. That was a lie. Shane's just all over the shows now, and this show is terrible because of it. And then the first 10-15 minutes of the show was all Shane. There was a nice little drop of irony in essentially telling your audience this show is terrible because of this one character, and then that one character being all over it.
So has there been any mention of Shane and Kevin Owens' previous feud?
No.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because I believe Kevin Owens' motivation back then, albeit as a heel, was to say, Shane, you're giving the wrong people opportunities.
He was abusing his power.
Yeah, you're not giving me opportunities.
Yeah.
And now that's come to pass.
Yes.
And Kevin Owens is a babyface.
Yeah, but they're just saying that the show's boring because Shane's in charge.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole bunch of context there.
Well, you know,
that would make it better.
Apparently, the only people that care about continuity are the New Day, because I really appreciate it when Kofi got the microphone. He said, "I don't like Kevin Owens," you know, because the North doesn't forget, which I think is a Game of Thrones reference.
It's a Lord of the Rings thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dorks. And it was, you know, it said that it's, you know, we don't like him. Absolutely, I don't trust him. But he's not wrong. You are all over this show, and anyone on this stage could be a WWE champion like me. You're just not giving them the opportunities. And Shane cut the mic off. But that was later on. We'll recap the first thing first.
Yeah, so Shane is waiting for Kevin Owens to arrive earlier in the day, and there's some, you know, NXT
security.
Trainee security standing in a line before them. And Kevin Owens just opens the door, walks in, says hey, and Shane's like, you're given the night off for your actions last week.
He doesn't like insubordination. No, he said, I don't work for you. He said, no, you work for WWE, and I'm a McMahon. I am the WWE.
Yeah.
So you do work for me.
Yeah, I don't know how Kevin Owens missed that, because Shane is also the commissioner, so...
No, but he's not, because there's no authority figures, so he's not a commissioner.
Okay. Well, maybe Owens has got an argument then, because I'm also confused. So KO was just sort of left.
He just left.
So I watched this. I was excited because absence makes the heart grow fonder. Haven't watched the last four episodes of WWE, being Raw, SmackDown, Extreme Rules, Raw. So I wanted to... I was excited. And I thought this is where Eric Bischoff's influence might be felt, or he might even be an on-screen presence. This was an immediate... damp start, I thought.
Yeah, this was Shane holding a town hall meeting, which...
Such a lame way.
Oh, yeah.
Such a lame way to describe this segment.
Yeah.
Which is WWE's, not your description. They actually said, this is the town hall.
And they had, like, the whole SmackDown roster out on stage, including Raw stars Drew McIntyre and Samoa Joe, to really get over the fact this is the SmackDown roster.
Hey, but at least... they had actual stars up there. Roman Reigns, Charlotte, all the New Day.
Roman did leave very quickly, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. But they were there. And usually when we say this, there are notable
mid-card
absences.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So
credit
where credit's due.
And I thought Tyler Breeze was also there, but it turns out it was Chad Gable. It's just that I thought, why is Tyler there? But yeah, they had Shane basically say, if you have a problem with me running this show, please step forward and let me know. And no one stepped forward. Annoyingly, no one stepped forward. And Roman was the first one to stand up and was like, this is stupid. I don't like you. You can kiss my ass. And he left.
Mm.
And that was it.
Yeah, and as he left, Shane said...
He just started picking people.
Yeah, I'll fine you later.
Yes. You're going to get fined for that. Yeah. And then he started cherry-picking people that he wanted to hear from, that he obviously knew were going to say good things about him. So he picked out Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair stepped up. It's the first time we've seen Charlotte since the Becky feud, way back when. Money in the Bank?
What was between Money in the Bank and Extreme Rules? Was the one. Stomping Ground. Yeah. Was that? No, yeah, that was.
Was she on that show?
That was where...
I thought it was Money in the Bank when she faced Becky.
Oh, no, was she not? Okay, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Because Bayley was feuding with Bliss.
Yes, you're correct. Yeah.
Good job. but yeah, Charlotte was like, I like the McMahons. I think the McMahons are great. I think this company's great. I think you're great. But then Liv Morgan stepped up to say, there's nothing real about you.
Fun line.
I was like, I've not got any TV time, and that's because people like you. And I thought, she's not been here for 2 months. What are you blaming her for not getting on TV for? But that kind of set up a match for later on in the night. Buddy Murphy also, genuinely, I can now say, he's debuted on SmackDown Live. It was on TV. It was in front of the crowds, properly. And we saw it all in front of... All of us saw it. It wasn't on YouTube or anything like that. And he said, I think Shane's brilliant. And I was like... Oh, dear.
Yeah. It's a shame because I thought he was going to take a tweener stance. He had a little line in there where he said, because Kevin Owens brought up Buddy Murphy's name in his work shoot promo last week as an example of someone who's not getting a chance because of Shane McMahon. And Buddy Murphy says, well, I'll slap Kevin Owens if he mentions my name again.
Yeah.
But I thought he was also going to, you know, just be against everyone.
Yeah.
But that you're right, that isn't the route they took with his character.
14 weeks they've had to plan his debut, and this is what they decided to go with, was to stand up and say, I think Shane is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, to look on the bright side of this, don't look for a possible silver lining in there, take a glass half-full approach, is that he's almost starting a feud with Kevin Owens, who is the number two babyface on the brand. It'd
be a hell of a series of matches.
It really would. If Buddy Murphy started having matches with Kevin Owens, like he did Owens-Buddy Murphy at SummerSlam, that's a big way to really push him as a... I think we're getting Owens-Shane McMahon, but I'm just saying in a sort of an alternate reality. If.
Yeah.
Yeah, if.
Well, Shane McMahon can't wrestle every week, so maybe Buddy becomes...
Part of the Omni-Shane.
His SmackDown Drew.
Yeah, but he's got SmackDown Drew. It's Drew.
It's Drew.
And Elias.
Then just, Apollo Crews started talking. Oh, sorry. Just Apollo?
No, he's Apollo
Crews. He's Apollo Crews this week. Andrade.
That's been for years. Yeah, that was 1 week,
Andrade and Selena Vega challenged him to a match. Elias tried to speak, but the New Day interrupted. Kofi started doing a babyface promo. Shane cut him off and then told everyone to go away. And then Cesaro walked down and said, I'm here from Raw. I want to fight Aleister Black again.
Called himself a wild card, no less.
Yeah.
And said, yeah, I'm a wild card for tonight. I was like, are we still... Is that still a thing? And
surely they've broken it in this segment alone.
I know. And then, he challenged Aleister Black to a rematch from Extreme Rules, and Shane gave it to him. And then Kevin Owens got into the ring, and I don't know how Shane managed to mess this up.
Mm.
He has been an on-screen character in this company for 20 years. In that 20-year period, even, I know he's had time off. In the first 3 years he was there, he must have taken 10,000 stunners.
It's got to be muscle memory at this point.
10,000 plus. Hundreds of thousands, including the house shows. And the first thing he did was double over. So he kicked it. Owens went to do the move, but Shane was already doubled over. So Owens had to, pick him back up and hit the move on him. They edited it on YouTube.
It's realistic selling, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when they showed the replay immediately after... They didn't replay that bit. They replayed Kevin Owens, awesomely, by the way, appearing over Shane's shoulder.
His beard looks really cool.
Yeah.
It feels like it's not much of a new look, but it feels like a new look, just the way he shaped his beard.
Mm.
It's got a bit of grain there as well. It's lovely.
But then the camera just does a transition effect to the stunner, so you don't see that little kick set up beforehand.
Yeah.
But my problems with Shane start before all of this.
Ooh.
Because there was the recap package. The whole SmackDown roster has shown up there at the start of the show. And then there's Shane in the ring. Let's have a look at what happened on Sunday night at Extreme Rules. Undertaker beats him up a load. Cut back to Shane in the ring.
Yeah.
Not selling.
No, or really, so Roman and Undertaker beat him, but to what end? Because Shane is still the Omni-Shane, and if anything, the Omni-Shane has grown going by this show.
Yeah.
So
he absorbs the punishment and reflects it onto us.
It just brings in more mid-carders to bounce off more Undertaker attacks.
But yeah, that was Kevin Owens at Cool escaping through the crowd. I really like this Owens character.
Loving Owens at the moment.
I saw last week a bit of a, not a backlash, but when people said, oh, it's like they're trying to do a CM Punk style pipe bomb promo with Kevin Owens. And then there was a contingent of people who lashed back at that, saying, it's nowhere near as good as the Punk thing. I said, of course it isn't. But, you know, it's a start.
Yes.
So I'm, yeah, I'm behind
Owens. I'm all for it.
This went straight into the Aleister Black Cesaro rematch, which was mostly a commercial break. But they
go by the gallery on WWE.com. It was a great match.
Yeah, it was. Everything I saw looked great. These two are just so they work so stiffly together.
Yeah,
and I loved. I was worried as soon as this match was announced because I know Black. What was match of the night? Was it?
Apart from Strowman Lashley. Yeah, totally match of the
night.
Yeah, I loved it.
So they and Black won in 9-10 minutes.
Yep.
Here, I was concerned that Cesaro might just do a fluke roll-up. Or, worse, Black might do a quick roll-up. And then you're already starting to chip away. But instead, it was a black mass, a really cool-looking black mass, because Cesaro's gum shield, he spat it out when he got hit. It looked great. It was a great visual.
Selling. Yeah, it was really good. If I was to give this any form of criticism or negativity, because I actually thought it was really good and it made Black look great, what I loved about the Extreme Rules match is that Cesaro looked amazing in defeat. Like, both of them came out looking like next-level stars. Whereas this, I felt like Black got something out of it, Cesaro got nothing.
Yeah.
And particularly when you got Todd Phillips saying, like, Cesaro had a great showing in the Battle Royal. I was like, mate, he was out first. Like, it almost immediately, he was out first.
Yeah, it is a shame. And it's part of a larger trend on this show where all of the matches underserved.
Man, they were firing through these matches. Yeah, there was a lot of matches on this show. They were like gifts. Like, they were that
short. Yeah, which, you know, that's something we usually complain about. Only two matches on SmackDown. Well, here's 15, and you'll get that each one's 2 minutes long. Then we got Shane and Dolph talking backstage. Shane made it. Dolph versus Kevin Owens for later in the night.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, there was a clip of.
Well, he said it was if Dolph could get him back to the arena.
Ah, right.
Which was because he'd already gone.
That's why
he was speaking to the referee.
Daniel Bryan had a post Extreme Rules YouTube interview that, you know, previously been uploaded, and he said that he's going to go where he's never gone before.
So a lot of people were very excited for this promo because it was like, this is going to be and he was advertised for the cross-branded All-Star Top 10 Battle Royal originally, and then got taken out of it because plans for Bryan changed.
Ooh.
And that was what was going to lead to this big career
altering.
And his promo was like, I've got to go to the high highs that Daniel Bryan's never been before. So everyone was thinking, he's got to be Universal Champion, or he's going to go after Lesnar, because he's won the WWE Championship, so surely he's going to go after Lesnar next. And then he was here, just sort of like back in the tag team mix again. I'm like, I don't know where this is going, but I'm still very intrigued by the whole thing. I'm particularly the way they sold this next segment, which was the New Day came out. Oh no, that's not the next segment, is it? That came later.
Oh, yeah. We've got some Charlotte Liv Morgan next.
Yes. Liv Morgan, nothing's changed from her Riot Squad days. But maybe this is the start to this. Because actually what I liked about this match was she was taking on Charlotte. Charlotte won, but there were moments when Liv Morgan was running wild and Charlotte was like genuinely surprised and sort of sold the shock that Liv Morgan was running wild and then beat her. And it wasn't like Charlotte dominated Liv dominated and then they got a fluky roll-up win. Now, Charlotte won convincingly, but she was just taken aback by this young baby face that was running wild on her.
Yeah, yeah, that was definitely a feature of it, but it was 2 minutes long.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, it was just another one of those matches where Morgan got the upper hand early with a few spots, but nothing really troubled Charlotte. Nothing was close to troubling Charlotte. It was just like, oh, I underestimated you slightly.
Yeah.
And then, like, sometimes having Charlotte win so convincingly after underestimating her undermines the good stuff that Liv Morgan got in early.
You know what? Maybe it's just, you know, doing the show with Steve yesterday, he really, like, he was instilling me this glass half full thing. When we were talking about Cedric Alexander, he was like, hey, you know what? It doesn't make sense and it is stupid, but he's on TV. And I'm like, you know what, Steve? You're right. He is on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, we can all have opinions. Steve here. Like you said, Liv Morgan has got some cool spots. She did her Matrix dodge of Charlotte. She sort of laid down on the floor and did the Harley Quinn thing.
Yeah.
I thought she did too many tongue spots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just with her coloured tongue. Yeah. When Miley Cyrus first went naughty, she always had her tongue out.
Yeah.
And I get what you're doing, but you're doing it too much. And that's how I feel about Liv Morgan right now.
Well, maybe that's
too much tongue.
Maybe that's all going to change because she grabs Corey's
maybe
headset.
Your sex tape.
She grabs Corey's headset and says that Flair was right, and when she comes back, she's going to be real.
Mm. Yeah, so teasing a gimmick change.
Absolutely, yeah.
Hopefully not, because I thought Liv Morgan's Harley Quinn gimmick is a really good idea. Would have been better when everyone was really on the Harley Quinn bandwagon.
Yeah.
But it's still a really good idea.
So you're saying this would have been good in 1992?
Or before Suicide Squad came out.
Yeah.
In between the release of that first trailer and when it actually came out. Then.
And then it was like, oh, this film's terrible.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn's rubbish.
Oh, no!
We all like a rubbish character now.
And I've already, you know, sorted out my Comic-Con cosplay this year for a crap movie. But she was, because the interaction with Charlotte earlier, Charlotte accused her of being a phony as well, mainly the coloured tongue and stuff.
No one's born with blue tongues.
Yeah, so maybe that means that Liv Morgan's going to go to a realistic gimmick.
Could be.
Which I just, that really takes away one of the main selling points about her.
Let's see what they come back. Let's see what they come back with.
All right, Steve here.
Having said that, they've had 14 weeks, and this is what they came up with. They had 14 weeks, and their answer was, "We need to have some time off so we can think about this."
And then Drake Younger, the referee, and Dolph Ziggler are looking at their phones. Then we got Fire and Desire taking on Ember Moon and Bayley, and Bayley was like built as a surprise teammate.
She was a mystery partner, yeah. Fire and Desire challenged Ember to a match last week and said, if you can find yourself a tag team partner, then we'll
find yourself a friend, you nerd.
Exactly,
that sort of thing.
And she found her tag team partner in Bayley. And they very quickly won. Moon hit the Eclipse and won. And then Kayla Braxton got in the ring and she said, what's next for Bayley? Like, it's a Wrestle Ramble weekend title. What's next for Bayley? And she said that she wants to elevate this division. She took her time. The crowd started chanting for Ember. And she said, yeah, it's going to be Ember Moon. Matches on. Ember was very excited. She said, hell yeah, very excited.
Yeah.
I think it will be a terrific match if it's given some time. And with a bit of luck, it will, actually, I'm saying with a bit of luck, if booked correctly, can elevate Ember Moon up into the top of the women's division. So that top mix where she should have been this time last year.
I hope so. I hope so. Hey, I'm doing a Steve here.
Yeah.
I hope that my glass is half full.
You can only hope. What I am excited for is Nakamura being interviewed backstage by Not Renee when he said he's going to rain down chaos, and Prince Ali walks up behind him and just says, congrats, champ, walks away. And with Finn seemingly feuding with Wyatt, even though they're not on the same brand, then Prince Ali looks like he's going to be going into a feud with Nakamura over the title instead.
Mm.
Thumbs up for that, mate.
Yeah, really exciting. That's great.
Yeah.
Nakamura hasn't been around a lot. Ali hasn't either. He's gotten a few promos here and there.
Yeah.
So this is really exciting. All over the United States Championship.
Title of your sex tape.
Nakamura did say that he'll rain down chaos.
And
then came out as part of Shane McMahon's mid-card of evil.
Yes, he did.
Way to really rain that chaos.
Well, I don't know if this is because this was picked up on last week as well. Because Finn Balor, in their promo against Nakamura, I think it was at Extreme Rules or something along these lines anyway, said that Nakamura is an artist. He likes to paint chaos. And so that's now twice they've brought up chaos in terms of Nakamura.
For everyone who doesn't know what we're alluding to, Nakamura is one of the founding members of New Japan faction Chaos,
yes,
which Okada was a part of, Tomohiro Ishii, Jay White and Gedo were, until they... Gedo!
So whether or not, I think it's just like a little cute reference. I don't think he's going to be starting a faction or anything. If anything, he's part of the Omnichain now, so that's the Chaos that he's reigning instead.
Then we got the New Day section, which turned into the six-man tag. But before then, it was billed as Daniel Bryan making a career-altering announcement. The New Day came out first. They said, we accept your tag title rematch.
Before that, can I be Captain Nitpick?
Go ahead.
Xavier Woods said that Kofi is... you should start calling him Simon Phoenix because he's the Demolition Man. I was like, mate, that was Stallone's character. Simon Phoenix was the baddie.
Tweet him that.
It's in my review.
Down, 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 down. Yeah. Brian came out. He teased he was going to say something with Rowan. Rowan was there too. And he walked out. Then he walked back live and he did it again, walked out.
The key to this, though, is when he's walking back out, he's wiping away tears from his face. I think the reason he walked to the back is because he didn't want to cry in front of the audience. And so when he comes back, he's sort of like wiping away tears from his eyes. And he did it again when he came back out the second time. It's almost like he was getting frustrated that the crowd didn't want to listen to what he had to say and for this career-altering injury. And that's why he just, a career-altering statement run, that's why he just dropped the mic and walked away.
I think they are playing with that charged wording in that whenever you hear career and Daniel Bryan, I think, oh my God, no.
Someone tweeted me saying like he was doing a dive in head. He did do a dive in headbutt at Extreme Rules. Do you think it's like going to be that kind of announcement, do you? And I was like, no, I think they're playing this up as a storyline, so I think it's okay.
Yeah, my initial thing was it's going to be he's just going to say I'm a single star again.
Yeah.
But then saying he's going to go where he's never gone before, that was quite, he's very much been there before. A lot.
Yeah.
Until recently.
I was going to say, it felt like this sort of promo, that promo we kind of Extreme Wars and this was sort of like disjointed. There wasn't really much of a connection to them, between them. But I do like this sort of like, particularly the crying aspect of it, of whether it's like he's properly losing it and he really is going off the rails. And that's that's where he's not been before. It's like, it's a crazed Daniel Bryan.
Or the thing that he's never done before is start a proper cult, and he brings in Luke Harper.
Well, PW Insider did report that Luke Harper is back on the road with WWE.
Whether they use him on TV or not is
a different
question.
Matter, yeah.
And then you can have Daniel Bryan with the new Wyatt family versus The Fiend. But The Fiend's
a feel.
I don't know. But yeah, like you, I am intrigued. I didn't think I saw some people get annoyed with this segment because
I don't get annoyed,
you know,
by
false
it.
Advertising with WWE, but this was a heel move.
WWE false advertising? No.
After this, we got Carmella walking around backstage and finds R-Truth in a hollowed out printer.
I thought it was a washing machine.
Was it a washing machine?
Yeah, like a tumble dryer one.
Right.
You kind of like you fill in from the top.
Okay, and then Carmella says, "I've got a really good hiding space for you." And they walk off.
Yeah, I believe she said Comic-Con is the hiding place. So I think they're going to go do film some stuff at Comic-Con with this 24/7
title. That's good, because this didn't pay off on this episode.
No, it didn't.
So they should have really made a bigger thing of Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
I washed over me. Then we got, speaking of making a bigger thing of, that they should have done, the Kabuki Warriors finally got their title match, their tag team title match against the Iconics. And it went 2 minutes. Billy Kay just took the count out loss. So they retained the titles. And they got beaten up a bit by the Kabuki Warriors afterwards. They went running. And Paige stood tall with them.
I liked the finish. Because the last week, so 2 weeks ago, or nearly 3 weeks ago now, they earned this this title match. Then last week, they kept saying they pushed back the match because Billy Kay wasn't feeling very well. So now the match had finally been made official. So it's the Kabuki Warriors finally getting this title match that they've been sort of teasing since post-WrestleMania. And it was Billy Kay getting up onto the apron to get back into the ring. And then there's just this moment of realization. They're like, oh, I could just get counted out.
Mm.
And they get counted out and they're on the ring doing like the smart tap and stuff like that. I thought they sold it really well. Maybe I was just happy to see them back on TV again. But I liked that finish. I'm not into the storyline at all, but and I don't think the company are either, because this really feels like, oh God, I suppose we better do something, I guess.
That's exactly what I've written. Look, this feels like such a quote, oh, we had to do this match. It really it's like, we did that thing to sell the tickets in the Japan tour with the stipulation. Okay, right, don't put it second from the end, because that's the real, put it third from the end. We'll give it a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then hopefully people will forget about it.
Did you see Paige's interview about the women's tag titles?
Is it our fault?
No, she actually blamed writers. She blamed creative for it. She was like, it's like talking to a brick wall. I have to keep reminding them that tag belts exist. But then she had the line of, but when you go to speak to Vince and Triple H, things get changed.
Yeah.
And I was like, balderdash, mate. Otherwise, you'd have been on TV.
Yeah.
The other thing of this, did you hear the Bella Twins story?
Well, it was meant to be the Bella Twins getting the tag title run.
A tag title shot. That's why it was given to the Iconics.
Yeah.
So they could then feud with the Bella Twins after WrestleMania, but then Nikki Bella found out she couldn't wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
And so they just dropped that storyline. And that's why the titles haven't been featured on TV, because they didn't have a plan B.
They've got so much time. Man, you just need an hour in a coffee shop to bat some ideas back and
forth. They
don't
care about the belts. This is exactly what Sasha Banks worried about. Like those reports that she didn't want to put them on the Iconics because they'd just be treated like a joke. And lo and behold, they've not been featured on TV and now they are treated as a joke.
Yeah. And I look, the women's tag belts, they started off here and they've gone downhill.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like they were ever this big thing. They never really got a chance. I know the Banks-Bailey run was meant to be big, but it wasn't. Asuka is the real victim here.
Oh, yeah.
Asuka's amazing. Kairi Sane.
Yeah, I know, right? Asuka was SmackDown Women's Champion in January. She lost the belt just before WrestleMania.
There's a ready-made program there.
I know.
Bayley, Becky Lynch took on Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross. When there's Ember Moon and Asuka.
Sonya Deville.
Sitting right there.
Oh, man, it's annoying.
Sonya Deville. The other Riot Squad member,
Sarah Logan,
who got that amazing Battle Royal spot.
An amazing finish until Carmella ruined everything. Did Carmella eventually get her title shot out of that? Was she meant to get a title shot out of it? Because Naomi was meant to get one last year and she didn't.
I don't know. Randy will get on it.
She just get a trophy this year.
After that, we got Apollo versus Andrade. There's 10 minutes left of the show at this point. And I know we've got the Owen Ziggler match.
Yeah.
So,
isn't going long.
It didn't go long. Andrade beat up Apollo before the bell. But Apollo valiantly told the ref he'll carry on fighting. Andrade beats him up some more. But Apollo reverses a pin to win. Meh. Yeah.
Yeah. No one gets over.
No. And it's a shame because these are two very talented guys.
Yeah.
It's a waste. Then we got the Fiend recap.
So this is your first chance seeing this.
Excellent.
Awesome, right?
I would have done it, you know, a month ago.
3 weeks ago, yeah.
But I loved everything that they did about it. The slow jong, jong, jong of the lights going off. The laugh at the end. Sometimes Bray Wyatt's laugh grates at me.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think it's too much. But this was perfectly judged, I thought.
Yeah.
The freaking mask.
Cool, right. It's wicked.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Steve had this theory on the show yesterday, and a few people have said similar things on the old Twitter sphere and in the super chats as well. Finn lost the IC title at Extreme Rules on the pre-show, no less. He then lost to Joe, and he then got beaten up by the Fiend. We build to Fiend Demon at SummerSlam with the Fiend being the first person to beat the Demon on the main roster, affected killing the Demon off, because now to Balison they go like, well, I can't even win when I'm the Demon. He has his little bit of time off, comes back, turns heel, joins the club.
That's very cool. I like that. I hope it happens.
It's long term. Well, it's not long term storytelling, but at least it's character driven storytelling.
I hope it happens. We've got an update.
She did not get a title shot. She just won the Uterus Trophy.
Okay.
Uterus Trophy it was. Then we got Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler for the main event. Dolph was just like all over Owens from the start. Sleeper. It was pretty boring.
Oh, yeah. A Dolph match being boring in 2019.
But he's really good. I just don't get why he puts... Well, I imagine it's the agents telling him to do these matches. Yeah. But, you know, he's a much better wrestler than this.
That's the other big thing you missed from Raw. They tease what Ziggler's next feud is, actually. It's with The Miz.
Oh, but Meltzer said that probably isn't happening.
Then what the hell was the segment all about then?
I don't know. But there was a really, like, when Owens when Owens came back, it was awesome. I thought the super kick and the sent on, and I just love KO as a babyface. Yeah. I just thought that's all I wanted. And then Shane comes out with all the heels. B-Team, Andrade, Cesaro,
AOP,
Elias,
Buddy, Shelton.
Buddy Murphy. AOP were there.
Well, that's what commentary said. I didn't see them, but commentary said that AOP were there.
That's a shame.
It's just
We
were joking last week that the Omni Shane was getting out of control because Shane is now involved with feuds and storylines with The Revival, Drew, Elias, The Undertaker, Roman, and now Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens. And then all of the heels come out with him here, and I'm like, this is getting so silly now. Why are all the heels just siding with Shane? It literally makes no sense.
Yeah. Then Owens, off that distraction, Ziggler hits the least effective move in WWE, the zigzag. But it got to pop out of me when Owens kicked out. So it still serves some purpose.
So it is effective then.
Yeah. Then KO hits a stunner, goes to pin Ziggler, but Shane pulls him out. And KO quickly stunners Shane and just legs it.
Legs it because all the heels are going to chase after him.
Which was, I don't know. I like the stunner, and I get why he ran off. That's a smart move.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't know if I would have booked it, so he has to run off. I think that's a bad visual for the character you're trying to portray.
Yeah, and really, you didn't need all those heels around ringside with Shane.
No.
So you could have just had
Shane and Drew.
Shane come out. Or, Drew. And Drew then just goes to the... like, if he runs through the crowd, then you just have Drew just, you know, shaking his fist and be like, I'm going to get you once I stop being embarrassed by Cedric.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've written down here. So Shane's just like... on the ground. Drew's consoling him. We'll get him next time. I was just like, why is Drew still a part of this? Why?
And we honestly thought, on Raw, we were like, I think the Omni Shane's done.
Mm.
I think, like, Roman and The Undertaker killed the Omni Shane. But no. In fact, they just gave it more power.
Both Heyman and Bischoff reportedly offered the chance to blank slate it all. No, I think that's Shane McMahon's money.
Yeah.
Shane says, Kayla Braxton gives Shane McMahon a mic, holds a mic to his face at least, and Shane says, KO will pay, and then pushes Braxton's arm aside.
You had dirty hands on.
Crowd went nuclear. How dare you do that to Braxton?
Queen of segues.
But that's the cliffhanger. I thought that was a real limp ending to the show.
I am not into Shane versus Owens at SummerSlam. Granted, I think I would probably say I'm not into Shane versus blank at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I really, really like Kevin Owens at the moment. So him feuding with effectively the top heel in the company, there is something to be said for that. But I suppose the question now is, where do you go with Roman? Because we all thought it was going to be Roman Shane at SummerSlam, and then you do Drew Undertaker, or you could do Roman with Kofi, but now he's with Orton. So Roman's sort of like, I don't know where he could go in SummerSlam plans. And the more it's happening, the more I think we are extending out the Roman Shane feud until Survivor Series, where you do Team Roman versus Team Shane.
The dark timeline. But overall, a good episode in terms of future feud building, but not actually that fun a show.
Yeah, smack bang in the middle.
Yeah, lots of short matches. What were you going to... You had your hand up.
Oh, no, that was just to say that what Meltzer said was that it wasn't going to be Dolph Miz at SummerSlam. They're going to have a TV feud, just not at SummerSlam.
Okay, that makes sense.
Let's get over to your super chats.
We shall. And also, you're talking about Shane against Kevin Owens. There was a report from Brad Shepherd you're going to say, take it with a bit of pinch of salt, who said it's going to be in a cage match, but we can't Brad Shepherd has as an iffy record, should we say.
Mm. He's had one thing, right.
He had that one thing. He had the XFL.
He had the XFL, but then he has had nothing since. And in fact, if anything, all of his reports have been... like he's sliced wrestling at this point.
Mm. Maybe that's what he does. Michael Davey says, welcome back, Ollie. Love for you too, Luke.
Thanks, mate.
For me, what legends will win the 24/7 title at the Raw reunion?
Oh, that's a great idea. That's such a good idea. Yeah.
Cheers for the speedy email replies, Ollie. You're a hero. Which no one has ever said before.
No. you were lucky.
Got him on a good day.
Yeah, all of them, hopefully.
I love that so much. Oh, my God, that's a great...
No, you shouldn't.
That's a great use of that. Like, the Million Dollar Man.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, you
should
sort
of buy it. That, I think that's such a good idea. Because there is, like, there's a massive long list of people that are going
to
be there.
Would you like me to read it?
Not all of them. No, don't, because we've got to zip through.
We've got to zip through. But I really like that idea. Although I'm really hoping that Raw Reunion has got... apparently, it was requested by the USA Network. It wasn't a Vince or Heyman idea. I just hope that they are going to effectively use the nostalgia bump in ratings to do a big angle that'll make people want to tune in the following week.
Let's see. I hope so.
I'm not.
I predicted it. They were going to do Rollins Lesnar, and so like Rollins comes out and says, "Let's do the match right now," and you do the Universal title switch there.
Yeah,
and not just lots of backstage skits with people.
Exactly. Yeah. Ron Simmons coming out saying, "Damn,
he will." Sean Turner says, "I want Kofi to destroy Randy's car again."
Oh, yeah, that was part of that big angle that they did way back when, 10 years ago.
Sure, let's chuck it in.
Wyatt Yapple says, just wanted to say thanks for all the content.
Thanks for watching.
Jobber JJ says, Ollie, did R-Truth interrupt you and your lady partner's privacy?
Yeah. I was not the champion.
No,
R-Truth. Cock blocks me again, me and Drake.
Sean Martinez says, I'm kind of upset I didn't get to buy the boys at WrestleTalk a beer during my visit to England, but I'll be back in September.
Yeah, I know, man. It was not poor timing. It's just we couldn't make it work. It was poor timing on our part.
That beer can happen still.
It will. Eric Mitch says, my first super chat. Welcome back, Ollie. I watch from Vietnam. And if any of you guys are in Ho Chi Minh City, holler at me and we can go for beers.
My parents loved Vietnam.
Everyone I know who's been there loved it as well. So. Wilson Simon says, what matches, video packages, or moments in WWE history give you chills? And can I answer this one quickly? So I was on Squared Circle earlier, and someone was like, oh, I just remembered the Daniel Bryan monster
from WrestleMania.
That, I watched that again. It's great. It's four minutes long, but it's brilliant.
I mean, I know you disagree with this, but it's Austin Rock WrestleMania X7.
Yeah.
Yeah. The My Way promo, so good.
My Sacrifice, Creed,
My
Somerset.
Sacrifice. Yeah.
Nobody Ask Nate. I think this was him attempting to tell me that my mic wasn't working. Mm-hmm. Sorry to everyone for that. Apparently, my voice was not very audible at all. I did not click a little button. But I know that for next time, so yeah, sorry for that. Finn K says, so Orton was off TV for a longer time and it seems he is more over because of it. Who should take time off next? Hashtag Randy Datsun Takeover.
I wouldn't say he was more over. I'd say he was over. Like, that doesn't differentiate for a normal Orton entrance.
I would say so, yeah. Orton's going to get that pop regardless if he's on TV every week or not.
But in terms for a break for someone else, God, I always used
Buddy
to
Murphy's
say Dolph Ziggler.
Buddy Murphy's had too much TV time.
Yeah. I don't know. They've sort of flattened everyone out where won't even help them.
I'm going with Balor. Balor's request that time off. Comes back, turns heel, joins the club.
Yeah, it's the best one, yeah.
Wallow TV, who Dan! Is Dan, says, Dan! Welcome back, Ollie. I missed you, smiley face.
I missed you too, Dan.
We missed you, Dan.
We always miss Dan. Saul Garcia, thank you for your donation. Anthony James says, Owens and Shayna lumberjack match at SummerSlam, please. And more SmackDown Live.
SmackDown Live.
Live, yeah. Yes, possibly added to Ember Bailey, with Charlotte also making it a four-way.
I think Liv Morgan needs to be built up considerably before she gets a title match.
You say that, but Natalya is going for the Raw Women's Championship.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, that's also bad, but don't give me an example of bad booking to justify the other bad booking.
I'm just
booking.
Saying, it can happen.
Yes, it totally can happen. You're right.
If it's going to turn to a fatal four-way, then it's Fire and Desire being thrown in, right? You do with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville against Bayley and Ember Moon.
Ben, bad predictor. Greenwood says, welcome back, Ollie. I hope Randy Borton is only in this feud to give Kofi a credible challenger, but if Orton wins, then it's gross.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't see him winning.
Yeah, I don't want
which means he will.
Josh DiDominicis says, how will Heyman and Bischoff be able to run their own shows if the guys they're pushing on their shows get random losses on the other shows?
That's a fair point,
actually.
It's
a very fair point. That's why the sort of joint roster thing isn't really working at the moment, while still treating them as two separate shows.
Maybe it will be re-established, this split, once both people are in place.
Yeah, when Bischoff decides to show up for work.
Yeah. Barely Average Gaming says, Randy, your mic is off. I'm sorry, I'm a barely average producer. So Sean Turner says, make Liv Morgan the female Gargano. Need a champer?
I think, I'm not sure Liv Morgan is the female Gargano in WWE.
A lot of people love her.
Oh, yeah.
She's improved massively.
Yeah, she's improved massively. And I like her gimmick, but I just haven't seen enough of her.
No.
Really.
Barely Average Gaming again says, hey guys, just bought my WrestleTalk almanac.
Oh, yeah.
Can you guys recommend a wallet for me to buy?
I mean, just off the top of my head,
it's the Ridge Wallet. It's one, looks just like this one.
That is a shoot wallet. That is a shoot in use wallet.
Look a at wallet that everyone in the office got, yeah, apart from me. For whatever reason.
We need your one for props in the video.
That's true. Reese Huggett says, hey guys, first time super chatting. Can you actually see Randy winning the title? It might just be me, but I don't see him as the top guy on a brand.
No, I don't. But I think that Randy is the sort of guy that when you put him into near fall situations, the crowd will buy into him. Like during the heat of a match, the crowd will buy in that Orton could win. Whereas like no one's doing that with Joe or Dolph Ziggler. But I think they would with Orton.
Yeah.
Donovan Garcia. That's a brilliant way of spelling Donovan. Hey, guys. And welcome back, Ollie. Missed my favorite wrestle talker. What do you guys think will be Alistair's first main roster championship?
Ooh.
I would love to see Kofi beat Orton at SummerSlam and then Alistair Black come out and just black mass him. And then that's your next championship feud.
Blimey. Not an Eric Bischoff show, my friend. I'm a traditionalist. Build him up from the mid-card title, yeah, and then you go into the main event. So obviously Nakamura and the United States title.
Yes.
Sean Turner thanking Laurie for fixing the mic and says, please take over WrestleTalk again.
Oh, for Laurie? Mm. Yeah. Well, he's going to be doing more videos. He's going to be doing the news.
He is,
on Monday.
He's back to doing Monday news as of next week.
Yeah.
Mm. Wilson Simon says, Shane puts Liv in a 3-on-1. Shane thinks there's no way she can win. Now she's a loser and she can't be on the show. Liv wins anyway. That's a booking idea from Wilson Simons.
Yeah, that's it. If she comes back with this new repackaged gimmick. Mm-hmm. That could be a good way to start off her momentum.
Ronce Rahan, or Rajan possibly, says, who's hairier, Ollie or A-Train?
Oh, ooh, A-Train, 100%. I don't
know. Ollie's not hairy on his back.
I'm weirdly bald on my back.
I know. Mm.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And here.
Yeah. Where A-Train, Prince Albert, as I would have known him, is like 90% body hair.
Yeah.
Like the only place he hasn't got body hair is on his eyes.
And his head.
I think given a chance.
The cruel irony.
Martin Correa says, Ollie, are you guys going to do a New Japan Royal Quest review?
We will probably touch on it because we are hoping to go to the show in the day, but then we're live streaming All Out.
Yes, so it's a case of trying to find whether what time that show finishes, what time All Out starts, and how much time we've got in between to be able to
eat.
And
we could do a vlog.
And get something edited, or maybe we'll live stream something, I don't know. But they reckon it's going to be Zach versus Okada for the title.
Tasty.
Tasty main event.
Some guy called Jeppersonen says, a censor once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Welcome back, Ollie. # lovely times with the boys.
Lovely times with the boys.
Were you here when lovely times with the boys was interesting?
No.
That's an NXT thing, I think.
Why is there a Hannibal quote in there as well?
I don't know why there's a Hannibal quote there, but that's just become the new name for the show now is lovely time with the boys.
I like that.
Brett J. Rasmussen says, good to see you back, Ollie. Wish you were back yesterday to the ramble with Luke and Steve from Going in Raw. Have you seen Fight for the Fallen yet?
No, I haven't. No, I really want to watch the Omega Chima match. Yeah.
Apparently the Cody Rhodes, well, the Rhodes Brothers Young Bucks match, the Wrestling Observer's review. Not the Wrestling Observer, but Figure Four's review, if it was. It's the best Young Bucks match I've ever seen.
Whoa. I will definitely watch it.
Yeah.
Because I care about the outcomes of that promotion.
Yeah, I still have not found time in my week to watch it yet, but I'm going to try and do some. Tomorrow, I might actually have a bit of time in the morning to be able to do it.
Clifford Miller says, "Hey, Luke, did you see the tweet I sent you?"
Depends on when you sent it, Clifford. I'll do a quick refresh of my notifications now.
Awesome. Dustin Pylon Pylon says, "Tomo's Super Chat Vortex will lead us to glory."
Tomo.
RJ Cameron says, "Buddy Murphy is alive. Big E, heel turn confirmed."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big E's going to turn heel. Oh, yeah.
Did you say it was Callum?
I said Clifford Miller.
Oh, Clifford, sorry.
Then I'll do another one.
Yeah, do another one.
Ronce Rajan says, "How does Roman have an issue with a show he's never on?"
Yeah, that's a good point as well.
I missed the question, sorry.
Why does Roman have an issue with Shane McMahon when he's never there, really?
He was there last week. He had a match last week and everything, yeah.
Graham Scrivener says, "If Brock Lesnar retains his title, which I hope not, who is next for him?"
Yeah, that is interesting. I would hope that he would. Do you think he'll stick? Do you think he'll be on Raw more often because Paul Heyman's in charge, and Paul might be like,
his contract runs out in March or April next year.
Oh, don't go by that. It'll never end.
Come on, I was going to say, like, yeah, Good Brothers, their contract was going to end as well. Look at him now.
AJ Styles would be a great shout. Tweener faction.
Yeah,
I don't know though.
Clifford, I did get your tweet. Email me, luke@russtalk.com.
Awesome. Tim Arndt says, "There is something for me to de-stress. Wrestle Talk, the place I feel most comfortable. You guys and the SWAF Nation are so welcoming, especially Tomo and Jobber. I love you guys."
Aww,
thanks very much, my friend.
I'm glad you found some Super Chat friends.
Absolutely.
Some Super Friends.
Ooh, Super Chat friends.
Graham Scrivener says, or Scrivener possibly, says, "Are you going to New Japan Royal Quest show in August? Because me and my fiance are."
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Say hello. Forever 314 says, "You know we're only a few weeks away from a pay-per-view whenever the WrestleTalk Universal Champion Ollie Davis is actually showing up for work.
SummerSlam season.
It's going to be one of the big ones. It's the end of WrestleTalk season two."
The AdNap says, "Murphy, Cesaro, Andrade, Joe, Nakamura and AOP to be Shane's League of Nations 7.0.
What an exciting prospect.
Jobber JJ says, "Just wanted to say WrestleTalk is a home where I can be myself. I love Tomo and Tim Art." You're being very wholesome today, everyone.
This is lovely.
Very nice.
I love the SWAF Nation and I love the little community. Yes. I think it's beautiful.
Someone was saying to me, they went on one of our YouTube videos and they were just like, "Man, all your comments are really nice." I was like, yeah. And I said, "Have you been on any other YouTube video?" And I said, "Well, occasionally." They're not nice.
Do you want another one?
Yes.
Tomo says, "I completely agree with Tim and Jobber. The SWAF Nation loves WrestleTalk and WrestleTalk loves the SWAF Nation. I just love seeing everyone participating in these streams and watching all the videos. Everyone deserves love."
Stop it.
That is wonderful. Thank you very much. And Oblivious Kari says, "Kabuki Jobber entrance until entrance is better."
In all fairness, I mean, their entrance music is terrible.
What is it?
It's just the two themes.
But
It's dreadful.
It should interject with Paige's entrance music occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah.
Like, not even on a... Yeah, like 7 seconds, it's 3 seconds.
It's a scream, and then it goes, yo-ho!
I mean, the Iconics barely got an entrance either, because they didn't care about that match.
No. Ed Fries, thank you for your donation.
Thanks,
Callum
Ed.
Sloan says, "I'm a huge Drew McIntyre fan and I understand the main roster hasn't been kind to him and that he's completely leveled out, but why haven't they strung a rocket to the moon on this amazing man?"
But they probably think they are, because he's aligned with Shane.
That's true.
He's with the biggest heel in the company.
They were so close to last year when he beat Kurt Angle and then...
Yeah. Oh, God, I completely forgot about that. Also, he's been in so many high-profile matches with Roman. They probably think... they are pushing
him. He's getting the rub.
He's getting the rub.
Ed Fry says, why does Brian's YouTube content count but not Cross or Murphy?
It's whether it's replayed on the show.
There it is. It's whether, because that's been turned into a storyline. Mm. Whereas Buddy Murphy's promo, which bearing in mind he cut on Mustafa Ali, and they're not feuding, is why it doesn't count.
Yeah. Judas Black says, you nerds are crazy. Suicide Squad is a great movie.
Oh, well, it's just nice to know the director of Suicide Squad watches Rustoid. I genuinely can't remember what his name was.
You see, someone did a point out the other day that you called me a nerd for liking Harry Potter, called Pete a nerd for liking Game of Thrones, and then you started talking about how much you like D&D.
Yeah, it's because D&D is cool.
I think it's an ironic statement.
Yes, when I call people nerds, it's ironic because I am.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Look at our set.
Look at us. I'm wearing a Jurassic Park t-shirt, for God's sake. Mm. It's an obscure Jurassic Park t-shirt as well. Who was the director of David Ayer?
David Ayer, yeah.
He also did that terrible Bright movie as well. He had a bad run of form.
I haven't seen either. Nate dropped surname. It says, Brian will go where he never has. The Shane Vortex.
I thought you were going to say like a McDonald's or maybe that's it. He has a crisis of meat, and he starts to go to all these restaurants.
A few times. Dwayne Cooley says, hello, Ollie. Welcome back, crying face, crying face. Naomi did get her title shot in December against Asuka.
December?
A year and a half afterwards, yeah. Fair enough.
Was it connected to the trophy, or was it just she got a title shot?
I think she may have tweeted to say, oh, I never got my title shot, and they were like, oh, no, she didn't, did she? Oh, I have one here. Jeffrey Pridemore
says, treated very seriously.
Is Ollie aware of Shelton Benjamin's new gimmick?
Yeah, you did see it, didn't you?
Yeah,
there's an awkward fart.
But is he still doing it?
He did it last week again.
Oh,
why wasn't
it on this show?
He didn't do it on this show, but he was back with the Omnishane for this show.
Was he?
And again, it was. He was asked about the main event. Like, just before the main event happened, he's like, who do you think is going to win in the main event? And he just started doing the little face thing.
Just the last person on earth I thought would be doing that face.
Yeah.
Mm. Max Allen says, do you think the Fiend will be New Kane from 1977 or the New Kane in 2012?
From 1977?
Sorry, 1997.
I was going to say.
My reading wrong there. Sorry. Max.
Generic, I hope he'll be the first Fiend comment.
Mm. I like that one.
Limps, who is Tomo's number two fan, says, can Luke do a The Best in the World... The Swaft Nation, in honor of the Swaft Nation. Cheers, y'all. Not Randy. And I hate to say this, but I missed Ollie. Oh, no, Oil.
Yeah. I can do, although I've got some hate for it recently.
The Best in the World.
Yeah, a few people have said, going like, I think you should stop doing that now. It's actually
don't listen to them.
Yeah, it's like, as I find it annoying when they do it on TV, I don't need to see you doing it as well.
Just do a quick one.
Yeah.
Don't elongate.
The Best in the World. The Swaff Nation.
Oh, congratulations, everyone. Rich. Anthony James says, Big E heel turn and joins Fire and Desire and starts throwing donuts to the crowd instead of pancakes.
Oh, what a heel turn.
You know what? That's stale... the only way you could make it work.
Yeah, it really is.
Stale pancakes. Kerry Banks says, I work with adults with developmental disabilities who love WWE. You'll help me be able to stay informed and engage with them on a more personal level.
That's
lovely.
Cool. That's really nice.
Yeah,
really
good for you, Kerry. Limps again says, the top four remarkable things for me this week: Bray's return, Aleister Black's Black Mass, Jack Gallagher's headbutt, and Corey Graves' small package joke. Have you seen the headbutt? That was a good headbutt.
No, I've heard the match is very good though.
Yeah,
I've seen a clip of it on your screen.
Yeah,
that suplex to the outside. Yeah.
Not match of the year, but a very good match. Mm. Tim Peterson says, where does Paul Heyman get his awesome suits? Speaking of suits, Ross had your jacket on, Ollie.
I know.
Did
someone
he?
Tweeted it to me. It was a WTF moments intro.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I feel like he's got heat now. He's got heat with me. It's coming up to a year.
It is, yeah.
SummerSlam.
I'm so sorry, whoever, I think his name is Kostas, because your name is in Greek. Ollie might be read it for me, but Ollie, how was Santorini? Greek Kostas here. That's how I figured out Kostas.
Oppa!
Oppa!
Santorini was great, thanks for asking.
Awesome. Josh Vinskovsky, thank you for your donation.
Thank you.
Evie Duran says, sorry I'm late to the party, but Ollie's back. Getting ready for work, but can't wait to watch this back later today. I love you guys.
I love you too.
Did you say it was Evie Duran?
I did.
Ah, can you let me, is it Evie or Erica? Because I think you've changed your name on Patreon, but I wasn't sure if we needed to change it in the shout out. So if you can, like, send me a message on Patreon and let me know. That'd be really lovely. Thank you.
Maybe she has a twin. Xander LS 11 says, without WrestleTalk, there is no Xandermania.
Ah, Xandermania.
Xandermania
running wild.
Nicholas Belgrath, thank you for your donation. Ben Rubbish at Predictions Greenwood says, who's Aleister Black's next opponent if not Kofi?
What, Nakamura?
Could be, but he's with Ali. So what you need, like a program for Black to fill into.
He's going to face Cesaro for 2 months.
Yeah, maybe.
It's quite clear.
Yeah, you're probably right, because we all really enjoyed that one match they've had. So yeah, we'll just do it over and over again.
That's how they got Ricochet over.
Yeah.
And Black used to be in a tag team with Ricochet. It's another show. There isn't a crossover of viewers.
You're absolutely
They can
right.
do this sort yeah. of thing.
Pavi, who is Luke's number one fan. I think we've actually got two Luke's number one fans. So we have to have a fight. Tim, that's exactly what someone who is about to turn would say. Tim is turning heel against Tomo and JJ. And then he or she adds, recruiting two fellows to go against Tim, Tomo, and JJ.
Crikey, we're having a faction split before it's taken over yet.
This is hotshotting.
This is the invasion angle all over again.
Your casual fan says nothing, but thank you for your donation.
Thank you very much.
KJ says, just throw the women's tag titles in the trash. They're meaningless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be disrespectful, but phase them out.
Yeah. Just pretend they never happened. We'll all forget this time next year.
We have four or five more, so let's go quickly. John Marth says, does Ollie know about Bayley Sting versus Kairi Kane?
I saw an image of Kairi Kane.
Yep, that was on Twitter yesterday.
Okay.
Loved it.
Yeah, I'm away.
Graham Scrivener says, hi guys, I follow you on Twitter and you're the best. Love to work with you.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for
email Andy, get involved with the website.
Yeah, absolutely. AndyWrestleTalk.com. Sir Darko the Third says, so we got Dolphin Ziggler versus the King of Soft Style, Miz. But it's not at SummerSlam.
Do you know what? It's not a feud I could possibly care about in 2019. Mm.
And lastly, we got another one. Tim Peterson says, I'll join the raid against Tomo and his cronies. Oh, we are starting a fight here. Oh, Sir Darko again says, we need to write to censor 2.0 with Corbin and Lacey. And Michael Dominguez is the last one who says, Andy, roll them. Carro burro perro tierra and corrido. He told me to.
I wanted to try and rush that because I really wanted to dedicate some time to this email that I got over the weekend.
Okay. Well, you know, I didn't really talk about the history of Santorini, island.
Do you want to tell me that again?
Well, you know, suitably wowed to the geology of the place.
I just don't think I'm particularly wowed by geology. When we were going through our Peru photos and footage, my wife and her sister remembered everything. Like, that was this, and it's this because of this, and that's there, that's this, here's all the history of this. And me and Mickey Love, we just kept looking blankly, being like, I don't remember any of that at all. I just remember it being very nice.
You were just focused on finding those titty bars. I haven't forgotten, Luke. Well, how about this as a little interesting historical nugget that I didn't tell you earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Archipocatablis, one of the many places I can't pronounce around the Greek Aegean.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm saying Aegean right. Aegean? The Aegean?
It's
the big collection of islands. There's like thousands or maybe 100. I can't remember. There's a lot.
Yeah.
So this one, where I went, Santorini, there's town at the bottom, Akaropa, whatever it is, and they had four-story buildings thousands of years ago.
Wow.
A lot of people say it's where Atlantis came from.
In what sense it's where Atlantis... Because Atlantis is under the sea.
Well, yes, exactly. So the central part of Santorini is a giant crater which has been since filled in by the sea because it's a volcanic island. Mm-hmm. The volcano erupted and the middle part of the island fell into the ocean.
Yeah.
And then there's the rim that's left, the circumference, which is where Santorini is now. And one of those old towns, only excavated in the 70s, is that town that I just mentioned.
Right.
Which is, you know, looks a lot more advanced than it should be for how old it is.
That is quite interesting.
I mean, it's all bollocks, but
okay.
It's not true. It was a great rim. The views...
Better than Pacific Rim?
Yeah. Pacific Rim 2 is no good.
I like rims.
Yeah.
Trust you. Like, you've sat here for 2 minutes and already you're talking about bumholes.
I thought we told Andy to be quiet for whenever we're recording.
Oh, yeah,
and you're like, Andy, you're not talking to the mic.
Because he's just started talking.
If you're going to just start randomly talking, at least do it into the microphone.
There's so many mixed signals here.
You don't. You get one signal that you just ignore.
Okay, your email, though.
You'd be a terrible Batman. What's that one again? Anyway, I've got this email. Imagine my joy when I woke up on Sunday morning to an email that was called Jogging, the Final Chapter.
Is that it?
No.
Oh, but
there
like...
There is an email attachment to it, but that was the subject heading. Mm. And I recognise the name. Obviously, we weren't going to give the names out of people. This is like a last year story.
We need a previously on recap package. A couple that were
having some difficulties with their relationship, so they introduced a third jogging partner to their running club that they were just having between the two of them.
This is where the whole jogging thing comes from.
It's exactly where jogging comes from. Mm. And there were some... we had emails from him, then we got emails from her with her side of the story, or it might have been her first, then his side of the story, and then we got various different emails, and finally they said... We're sticking together. We've had a big, long chat about it. Thank you very, very much for this. But then, to get an email that's called Jogging the Final Chapter. Oh, mate. It says, hello,
Have you read it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It says, hello, WrestleTalk gang. We thought we'd keep you updated on the final stretch of our jogging experience. Born in early July, our beautiful baby boy. We think he recognizes your voice as I listen to the podcast videos almost daily while pregnant. Here is a picture of him.
Whoa. Oh, it's a bubby.
Yeah.
It's a baby with a fine head of hair.
Oh, good head of hair.
So, I want it. can I buy the hair off the baby?
So we had an email in from someone who was getting... Jaron Walker. You know, you were asking for like updates and stuff on his. Like, they're getting married and stuff.
Wow.
Well, I think they might be getting married. I think that was the case.
With Bullet Club Girl. Holy moly.
They're together, and we're like, if they are getting married, then we want an invite to the wedding. I think they can definitely afford that.
Yeah. Well, we brought them together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
We should at least be video linked in live. And then, like, you think, like, classic Raw style. Oh, they're not in the building.
Yeah.
But then we turn up.
Kick the doors down. Yeah, and everyone goes, who are they again? Who are these guys?
This is awkward.
This is very awkward. I also had someone email in because on Saturday's show, I said that The Dark Knight is an average movie. It is a 3-star movie brought up to 4 stars with a good performance by Heath Ledger.
This is a classic, classic Luke contrarian opinion. One of your best.
I just think it's a good film, but it's not like groundbreaking. Mm. Batman Begins is a much better movie.
Mm. Yeah.
But anyway, this came in.
But I would say Dark Knight's more exciting.
Disagree.
I have more fun watching Dark Knight. But Batman Begins is a better movie.
I think Final Third's a bit rubbish. The Final Third needed to be its own movie.
Yeah.
Like, you need to do all of the setup for Two-Face and then do a film that's about Two-Face.
They hotshot it.
They'd completely hotshot the angle.
Wasn't that because of Heath Ledger's passing?
I don't know. But anyway, there's an email here from Flev that we'll come into on that, where he says, I just watched The Weekend Ramble, and there's one takeaway I want to discuss. Now, I want to start by saying this is not trying to me trying to change your mind, because I know it's just your opinion, and everyone is entitled to it and all of that, but just to politely debate the idea. I know films can be subjective, and there's no clear criteria to define the best film, like in sports where you ask, which is the best team? A, the ones that won the World Cup or finished first in the league. So me being a stats nerd and having a lot of free time on my hands, I used a formula to determine the best Batman movie.
I love our fans.
In short, I ranked all the live-action Bat films in 4 different categories. Box office, commercial success, critical acclaim, fan acclaim, and award, institutional acclaim. And I gave them points based on where they rank and then added them together for a final ranking. And the top one was, you guessed it, The Dark Knight, followed by Rises... This is way weird. And then Batman 89. Now, I know this formula that I made up, but I tried to show it to different perspectives, not just my own opinion. Apologies for the long novel, but your comments kind of irked me, and I just had to comment on it.
Getting more aggressive.
But I love this. If you're interested in how I did my math, I can send you the text file.
Yeah.
Still love you guys and that thing you do with all the great content. That's from Flev. Now, your formula is clearly balked because Rises is second.
Mm.
Like, so there's
a red flag.
That's a red flag there. Also, it's worth noting that Dark Knight was inflated post-death. Like, it was sort of posthumously. Thank you very much.
Posthumously.
Because otherwise I say, like, posthumously or posthumously. And it's not
posthumously.
Posthumously. Yeah.
I had some of that in Greece.
That's lovely. Yeah. Delicious. I think that the ratings for Dark Knight were bumped up after Heath had died, and I think his performance became something of legend, which is why he won Best Supporting Actor, which he never would have won had he not died. It never would have been nominated. It's a comic book movie. They don't get nominated for awards because the Academy don't like them.
Mm.
But they were almost bullied into doing it because of the big news story of Heath Ledger's passing had become. So they had to give him an award. There was a Heat article written by, I think it was Kerry Katona, that said, I think Heath Ledger should win the award for... Sorry? No, it was Best Supporting Actor. It was like, and she said, I think he should win Best Supporting Actor for Dark Knight. I've not seen the film, but I just think he should win it. That is the sort of level
of... They're my former employers, Heat.
Yeah. And, so I just think that that film is bumped up due to death. So I think that that's not your fault. That's certainly not your formula's fault. That was the world in 2008?
Around them. I do like how they said everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
But yours irked me.
But here's my attempt at an objective proof that you're wrong.
That is all we've got time for on today's show. Welcome back, Oliver Davis. It's bloody lovely to have you
Good
here.
To be back. I'm off again now, so I'll see you all in late August.
He's joking, of course. He won't be on tomorrow's show, because that'll be myself and Laurie, but he will be on the Saturday Ramble, your first
Woo-hoo!
Magazine show, in about like a month or so, I think. So we'll be back for that. Anyway, that is all we've got time for. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.